following message was recorded at Restoration City Church in Washington, D.C. For more information on Restoration City, please visit our website at restorationcity.church.
Amen. Well, hey, good morning. My name is Dan, and I am the operations director and one of the elders here at Restoration City. John is on his way back from a cousin's wedding down in Virginia Beach this morning, so I got tapped to be here and to preach from God's word this morning. And if you've been with us for the last couple of weeks, we just finished up what we call our Shadow Me sermon series. It was all in the book of John 4, and it was a really important set of sermons for our church. If you haven't had a chance to listen to those, I really want to encourage you to go back online into our podcasts and listen to them. We talked a lot about who we want to be, the type of culture we want our church to look like. And this morning, I want to kind of pick one of those cultural values that is important to our church to kind of talk about and dissect a little bit more this morning. And that's the value of hospitality, showing hospitality. You're going to think maybe, hey, that's an odd choice for what you're going to preach on a whole sermon on hospitality. That seems kind of small, but I want to argue this morning that showing hospitality is a really effective and yet underutilized tool that we have in our tool belt for showing evangelism and discipleship within our church community and to the broader public and non-Christians in our lives. So hospitality is that topic. I've been thinking a lot about it in my own life, specifically. I got an email a week ago reminding Twyla and I that we just recently, or that it's been a year anniversary that we've lived in the townhouse that we moved into in Alexandria. And when we moved into this townhouse, we had a lot of great goals and aspirations for us that we wanted to use that house for God's kingdom. We wanted to invite members of the church over. We wanted to use it to engage our neighbors well. And Twyla and I have spent the last couple days just analyzing and contrasting our intentions versus the reality of what it looked like for us over this past year. And we've seen some examples where we had some really good uses of the home that God's given us. We've hosted a community group. We've had a number of social events. We've had people over from the church for dinner or for lunch. But we've also had a lot of missed opportunities as well. One of the biggest ones is I feel both of us feel like we haven't engaged our neighbors with the intentions in which we had had previously when we moved in. I'm focusing on this topic of hospitality this morning because I feel like it's a value that we've lost touch with in our society and within the Christian community as well. Our culture here in DC in particular is this, I'm gonna keep my personal life private, I'm gonna keep my home life private, and that's not really what God calls us to. I've been thinking more and more about the number of places I've lived in DC. I've been here about 14 years now, almost. In December will be 14 years. And in 14 years, I've lived in 9 different places. When I think about those 9 different places, there were townhouses, there were apartments, there were condos, there were the whole gamut of different housing opportunities, both in DC and Arlington and Alexandria, yet to live in Maryland, but been all around town. And as I've been thinking about it, I look at my neighbors from those different places and I'm like, I don't think I've had a single substantial conversation with a single neighbor other than, hey, how's the weather? Hey, that was bad. Your roof is, you know, there's a shingle falling off, like that sort of thing with my neighbors over the past 14 years. It's embarrassing that I haven't been a hospitable person to my neighbors. But that's kind of all of us. I don't know if you guys experienced that too, but it's kind of our culture in DC not to engage, to kind of keep private. But I grew up in Minnesota. I was in St. Paul as a kid and went to college there, and that's not the culture at all. When you're walking down the street, you say hi, you wave, you smile, you do things. And I started doing that when I moved to DC. I was some young 20-year-old kid on Capitol Hill walking to work and was trying to say hi to people and try and smile, and immediately got the like, what is this kid doing? Looks from people. I learned really quickly that that's not DC at all. It's sort of a keep your head down, don't make that eye contact or else it'll be weird. And I learned that, I picked it up, and you know, I find myself almost 14 years later in this boat where I feel comfortable with the silence and with just the isolation. When I'm walking my dog next to the neighbors, like I keep my head down, I don't engage, and that's comfortable to me. So this morning, we want to talk about this idea of hospitality because it is a tool that we can use to break through the social norm, this norm that really stops us. But we want to engage, though, as Christians into real relationships with people. It can lead, if we engage and have real relationships, it can lead to evangelism and discipleship. Now, if you're like me, when I say the word hospitality, you kind of clump it into either people have that skill or they don't have that skill, right? At least I do. I think about my mom. I think about women. I think about female gender norms, if I'm being honest. I kind of think that that's something guys aren't really good at. But this morning, we're going to see that that's not true. It's for everyone. And I don't want to go back to just these gender norms. As I kind of meet with guys in my role as a pastor here at this church, and I've found over the years that men are lonely, men want to be known, and don't feel that they're known here in this city. So hospitality, guys, we have a role in playing this, and there's a great opportunity for us to engage in doing it. We got to get in the game on hospitality. The church has an unbelievable opportunity to invite both the community at large and our church members into their lives and create a sense of belonging. The surprising thing about hospitality, though, for us is that it's addressed in the Bible. As you look at both the Old and the New Testament, there's several different writers that were all inspired by God to write about this topic of hospitality. And as we look at the scripture this morning, we're going to see that we're exhorted to practice hospitality in our lives for both believers and for non-believers. And as we study God's word, I pray that we're all going to walk away seeing that hospitality is something that we are called to do, regardless of your age, your gender, where you're at in the city, what kind of housing you have, what type of work you do, all those things. Hospitality is something for all of us. And if we do it right, it's going to open up doors for us to evangelize and to disciple other people. So as we look at scripture this morning, we're going to ask a couple of questions as we do it. We're going to first figure out and define what is hospitality. And then ask the question, why does hospitality matter to God? And then lastly, what hinders us from extending hospitality and how can we overcome those obstacles? So first, let's just define what is hospitality. And to do that, we're going to look at three passages of scripture this morning, all in the New Testament, where Christians are commanded. They're commanded to show hospitality. First is 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 9. It says this: "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." And then Romans 12, 13 says this: "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." And then lastly, our last verse is Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." In each of these verses, we see the word hospitality there. And the Greek word of hospitality in these passages is the Greek philoxenos, which means it's translated into English as love for strangers. So when we say hospitality this morning, what we're saying is we need to have a love or an affection for strangers, for the outsiders in our lives. That we're pretty much called to love anybody who's not in our family is in this group of outsiders and strangers. So let's keep that in mind as we continue here this morning. But I want to kind of unpack those verses of what the authors were intending when they talked about showing hospitality here. They were communicating to a Christian community that was dependent, that needed the gospel to spread. Within this time period, there was foreign missionaries who were going out to fulfill the great commission that God has given us in Matthew 28. They were going out around the world to share God's name. And able to do that well, they needed lodging. They needed to not have to go and spend money on an expensive inn in order to share the gospel. So these authors were writing to different churches and different peoples and saying, "Hey, Christian, you need to show hospitality, a love to the stranger, these stranger missionaries that are coming into town. You don't know, they're from a different country. They might have a different background than you. But what we want you to do is we want you to house them. We want you to take care of them so they don't have to spend money and they can use their resources to continue to go out and preach the gospel as they did." And it wasn't just a, "Hey, you need to house them." It was a feed them. It was care for them. It was encourage them. Contribute to their ministries. Make them your friends. And while they did this, Christianity continued to flourish. as believers did this. They shared hospitality, they showed hospitality, and they shared their homes and their lives with these foreign missionaries. It was critical to spread Christianity. And while we might not have foreign missionaries knocking on our doors saying, hey, can I have a place to stay here in DC? We are still commanded in these verses to show hospitality today. I really like, there's a quote from Matt Chandler. He's the pastor of the Village Church down in Dallas, Texas. And he was talking about this idea of biblical hospitality. And this is how he described it. He said, it's to give loving welcome to those outside your normal circle of friends. It's opening up your life and your home to those who believe differently than you do. This helps illuminate for us a definition that I wanna kind of give for us in our church this morning, a little slimmed down version. This is what I wanna define hospitality as. Hospitality is opening our lives and homes to outsiders. Opening up our lives and our homes to outsiders. There's two pieces in this definition that I kind of want unpacked and dissect for us this morning. Because I think when we combine those two together, it's going to create a really unique call for us as Christians when we think about hospitality. The first piece I want to dissect is that hospitality means not just opening up your home, but your life. It raises a bar of intentionality that this isn't just, hey, I'm going to have somebody over for dinner, but rather it's I'm going to invite somebody over into the inner workings of my life. I'm gonna share with them the ups and the downs of my daily life with my family, my job, my hobbies, whatever it may be. I'm actually opening my life to this person. And the second unique part for this as Christians is that it's not just for our friends. It's for the outsider. It's for the outcast. It's for the stranger. You know, Chandler said in his quote that it's those outside our normal circle of friends. See, this outsider for us is maybe a person of a different background, education level, race, social class, just people that aren't necessarily like us. This type of hospitality that we're talking about this morning is a high bar. It's not just let's have somebody over to our house. It's really involving bringing strangers into the daily workings of our life. It's more than a welcome environment with nice aesthetics in a clean home, but biblical hospitality is inviting a stranger into the messiness of our lives and probably the messiness of our homes too. It sets the foundation and an opportunity for a genuine relationship and friendship to be formed. And in doing that, in creating a welcoming place like that, God can reveal the gospel to a person, to evangelize to them, for discipleship, for growth to happen in somebody's life. So that's our biblical definition of hospitality, to open our lives and homes to outsiders, which I wanna ask you guys to reflect to this morning and say, are you doing that in your life? Are we doing that as a church? Are we really currently open to welcoming outsiders into the daily workings of our lives? So now we've defined what biblical hospitality is, I wanna switch and say and ask the question of, why does this matter to God? Does hospitality matter to God? And of course, I'm preaching a sermon on it this morning, so it does. It matters to God. And it matters to God not just because we want to be nice and we want to do what's right. Our parents raised us to have good manners and to do nice little block parties and all that sort of stuff. It's not just that. God actually cares about this because God loves the outcast. He loves the outcast. He loves the stranger and the outsider. He ran after us and called us into a relationship with him. And he wants in turn for us to invite others into that kingdom, to join the family of God. And hospitality for us should be an act of worship to God. All over the Gospels, we see Christ showing hospitality, showing love to strangers in the society. I mean, we just finished 6 weeks of the Shadow Me sermon series in John 4. Where Jesus is engaged in talking with the Samaritan woman at the well. She was an outsider. She was an outcast. Jesus also dined with tax collectors who were hated in that day, like Zacchaeus in Luke 10. He befriended prostitutes, the sick, the poor. And even when we look at the 12 disciples, they were a ragtag bunch of guys who were from all different jobs and social standings. And what Jesus did is model for us what it looks like to open your life to them. He did it like that, and we need to do it in our lives as well. It's through Christ's work on the cross too that God showed hospitality to us. We've got to keep in mind that hospitality was shown to us as believers in Christ. We were sinners, outsiders, strangers to God. And Jesus left heaven to sacrifice his life to meet our needs. When we placed our faith in him, our identity changed from that stranger, from that outsider, and now we are members of God's family. Ephesians 2:19 says this, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." Now, can you imagine laying your life down for a stranger? That's the ultimate sign of hospitality for us. This is the same hospitality God showed us that he's also calling us towards today as well, that we are commanded to show to others. Hospitality matters to God because he modeled it for us first in what Christ did for us. 1 Peter 2:21 says this, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." And I love a quote that I saw from John Piper this week as I've been studying this. He says this about hospitality and God's grace to us. "We owe our eternal life to grace. And grace is God's disposition to glorify his freedom and power and wealth by showing hospitality to sinners." God has given us hospitality. We don't deserve it, but in his grace, he gave it to us, and we deserve to give it to others as well. Now today, this might be your first time in a church. It might be your first time back at church in a while, and you don't have a relationship with God right now. You feel like a stranger here in this room. And I just want to tell you this morning that God desires a relationship with you. And I speak for this community of believers that we want you here. We want to get to know you. No matter what has been done in your background, no matter what your background may look like, we want to know you and love you. And if you're interested this morning in knowing what a relationship with Jesus looks like, I want to encourage you to come down. Herman had mentioned that we'll have a couple people down front to pray right after church. We'd love the opportunity to just talk with you about what that could look like after this is done. But hospitality is an important topic that we care about here. We want to be a hospitable people. And it's important for us to note this morning as believers that this takes time. It's whether it's inviting somebody into your home or finding ways to meet the needs of people in their homes. Doing that sort of work is gonna transform what somebody is as a stranger, and it's gonna make them into an acquaintance. And as we put more time and more energy into it, it's gonna make an acquaintance and turn them into a friend, somebody that we can have a genuine relationship with. And then through those genuine relationships, that's where we have the ability to share the hope that we have in Christ, that he took us from strangers into friends and family of God. It's also a place where we can work with other believers, that we were originally strangers and then acquaintances and then friends. It's in that that we can provide discipleship, that we can share with somebody else what God has taught us through the course of our walk and journey with the Lord. It's a really important, hospitality is a really important key part of this. So I want just to encourage you, I know a lot of people here, I've met with a lot of people here that say, "Hey, I want to be evangelizing. I want to be discipling somebody else in the faith, but I don't know who, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know anything." And I just want to encourage you, hey, you've been feeling like you're stuck in a rut. Is possibly the missing link in all of this hospitality? Is it maybe that you just haven't been engaging in people that are maybe not like you, not in your circle of friends? Is it maybe that you haven't taken that step to open up your life beyond just having somebody over for dinner? I'm wondering if hospitality is that link for a lot of us, because it's an amazing catalyst that we can use for those evangelistic and discipleship relationships we want to have. So this morning, I want to encourage you to ask yourself, is lack of showing hospitality one of the things that's holding you back from evangelizing, from discipling somebody else? Now this morning, I want to, now that we've defined hospitality and understand why it matters to God, I want to spend the rest of our time this morning just talking about different challenges that we face when it comes to this idea of hospitality. There's a number of things that keep us practically from practicing hospitality in our lives. One of the biggest ones that I think at least affects me is the challenge of selfishness, that we simply don't want to show hospitality. It's a lack of desire and willingness to open up our lives, and we have a hesitancy to want to engage with strangers. The human heart is just naturally self-centered. It focuses on its desires, its comforts, its happiness above everything else. That's selfishness, and in that selfishness, it's really hard to show hospitality. But even if you're able to get over, you know, our selfishness, and if you set up something where you are able to show hospitality in your life, a lot of times our hearts are prone to grumbling or being annoyed or complain about having to do it. Oftentimes I will say this phrase, I'll do it, but I'm not happy about it. Does that sound familiar to anybody else? Twyla was like, yes, I hear that all the time. That's me. Just recently, Twyla and I were talking obviously about this idea of hospitality and loving our neighbors and all of this. And we have an elderly neighbor who's just kind of literally across the walkway from us. And he has been mowing his lawn. He loves doing that sort of thing. He loves being outside. And he's gotten to the point where he's got a little bit of a tilt in his hill and he just can't get his lawnmower up there anymore. It was one of these beautiful days out recently and we saw him just struggling to get up, and he kind of stopped the mower and said, hey, I'm not gonna be able to keep doing this much longer. And Twyla encouraged me and challenged me to say, hey, why don't you go mow his lawn next week? And to be honest, I kind of grumbled. I just sort of was like, yeah, this is a good idea, yeah. And didn't really have a heart to want to do it. And since I didn't jump at the chance to do it, we actually noticed a couple days later, our next door neighbor jumped in and he did it. He mowed his lawn, but not only his, he did our front lawn and our other neighbor's front lawn and the next one down. And Twyla looked at me and we both were like, well, that was a missed opportunity, right? And I just felt like a jerk. But that's us. I mean, a lot of us have that tendency towards grumbling. And Peter, in 1 Peter, saw this as going to be a common reaction for us as believers, that practicing kindness is going to cause us to want to grumble. He says it in verse 9 there, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, most people can tell when we are begrudgingly doing something for them, when our heart's not in it. I think people are wise and intuitive enough to be like, this person's not happy to be here right now. They don't want to be doing this. And if we have that sort of attitude, we're not going to be able to open our lives up to them like what Scripture is calling us to do. And they're not going to want to open their life up to us either if we have these negative attitudes. So the question is, how do we overcome this? How do we overcome our either selfishness or our grumbling? And really, there's no magic bullet for this other than a heart change. It's reminding ourselves of the truth of the gospel that we just talked about, that we were strangers. We were enemies of God, and he showed hospitality to us. Strangers in our sin, he showed that hospitality to us. You know, we can't fake it on the outside. We need a heart change. We need the Holy Spirit to come and step into our lives and remind us daily of the gospel. And when we have that gospel mindset, it should change our hearts to want to produce joy in being able to desire doing this. Our motivation needs to not be just to check a box. It needs to be to have an expression of the grace that God has shown us in taking us from being an outsider and into a family member of God. Matthew 25:35 says this, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. It's a reminder that when we do that stuff for strangers, we do it as if it's for Christ as well. He's called us to serve others as if we're serving him. So not only are we prone to selfishness and grumbling, we also can struggle with laziness and neglect as well. The verses say it all over the place there too, that we are prone to neglect it. It says that in Hebrews, we're prone to neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Peter then tells us in the other verse that we are to love one another earnestly. That means to do it with a seriousness and a sincere and intense conviction, which is born out of love and not out of compulsion. When you look at Romans 12:13 in the NIV, it tells us to practice hospitality, to practice it, not just show hospitality, but to practice it, which means that it is a pursuit. It's a pursuit and it's something we need to persist in, that we are not supposed to neglect it or become lazy in showing hospitality. You know, hospitality is sort of a skill. It's something that we need to develop and grow in. And if we don't discipline ourselves to show hospitality and extend it to others, we're gonna end up forgetting how to do it. The less and less we do it, the more and more we're gonna be prone to be lazy or just neglect it altogether. But if we're able to do it and start to grow and learn and know how to do it better, we're gonna continually be thinking about showing and extending hospitality to others. So maybe it hasn't been selfishness for you, maybe it's not laziness or neglect for you, but you say, hey, Dan, I live in a studio apartment on the 6th floor of a building in DC. Or, hey, Dan, I'm a college student. Or, you know what, my place is too small, it's cluttered, or nobody will wanna come. Or, hey, I'm not good at making food. Nobody's gonna wanna eat any food that I have. Or, hey, talking to strangers are weird. Like, that's awkward. I don't wanna have an awkward conversation. I think many of the times that we don't do hospitality is because of a fear. We're prone to fear that we don't measure up, that other people are gonna think we're weird. But Galatians 1:10 is a good reminder for us. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, hospitality isn't aimed at getting others to like us. It isn't about man's approval at all. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as if for the Lord and not unto men. We are hospitable because it is an act of worship to the Lord, which means it can happen anywhere. It can mean that it doesn't need to have these amazing aesthetics. We are called to get over our fear, to get over the approval of man, and to go out and engage with the strangers in our lives. Another major obstacle for a lot of us, it might not be fear, it might not be selfishness or neglect, but it might be just, hey, Dan, I don't have time. It's my life stage. I think that's a lot of us here. Either we work down on Capitol Hill or in DC and we work 80-hour work weeks, or it's we work an 80-hour work week and we have two kids and we have a family and we've got all these other commitments in our lives. I just don't have time for hospitality. I know that. I understand that. I was a 20-year-old guy in college who had no idea of hospitality, how to do it, what it looked like. It was a foreign concept. And then I graduated, I moved to DC, and I was working in politics down on the Hill, and I had that job where I went into work at 6 a.m. and I left at 9 p.m. on a good day. I understand what that's like. And now I'm a parent, and we've got a 2-month-old at home, and I can barely keep the laundry going. We're barely like surviving at this stage right now. I think some of you parents know that, what that feels like. The idea of showing hospitality right now, yes, amen. Thank you, Ben. The idea of showing hospitality seems like an impossible task, but yet God calls us to still do it. The life stage is never gonna change. I think we often think like, oh, when I get married, hospitality will come in then. Or hey, when I get work-life balance figured out, then I'm gonna do hospitality. Or hey, once I get family, it's a lot easier to show hospitality when you have kids and invite people over, all that. It doesn't get easier. Life gets harder and harder. But what we need to do is to reprioritize our time. This is a command that God gave us to do hospitality. So our lives are things that we need to work into the hospitality. We can't just use it as an excuse or say, hey, I'm gonna just do this in the next season of life. Because the next season of life is just probably gonna get busier and busier. Don't believe the lie that I can do it later. I can do it a couple months from now when things settle down. And also don't believe the lie that other people are too busy for it too. I think we make that excuse a lot too of like, hey, I would do that, but my neighbors seem really busy. I don't think that they would want to do this. Let's not make a decision on somebody else's behalf without even asking them, right? I've been reading a book, before Twyla and I moved in, I've been reading a book called The Art of Neighboring to kind of help Twyla and I figure out like, how do we engage our neighbors well? It's a really great book, and we'll put it on our Amazon page, a resource page on our website. For you guys, if you want to get this book, it's phenomenal. But the authors of that book said this about this topic. The journey begins when we choose a lifestyle of conversation and community over a lifestyle of busyness and accumulation. It's about making room for life and choosing to befriend those God has placed around us. We have people all around us, and God's calling us to befriend them, to show hospitality This could be your kids' classmates' parents when you're, you know, picking them up and dropping them off at school, your neighboring college students, your coworkers, the people at the gym, your clients and patients, your neighbors. We can create authentic, genuine relationships with them if we put in a little work. And in doing that, we can show, we can express the love of the gospel, and we can provide discipleship in those relationships. Last thing for us this morning is a lot of times we just don't even know what to do. That's another obstacle for us, is we don't know how to start. So I'm gonna give a couple of suggestions for both us inside the church, how we can show hospitality to one another as a community of believers. And then I'm gonna share some from outside the church, what we can do to engage those that are not part of our community. But first, inside our church, for those of us that call Restoration City Church our home, I wanna encourage you to radically pursue the newcomer. Radically pursue the new people coming in and stopping at the starting point table. Let's let them know that they're welcomed here. Also, mix up where you sit once in a while. I think we all have the pockets of like, I know who sits there and who sits back there and over there. Like, you're gonna interact with the same people. Let's mix it up, let's mix and match, and you're gonna be able to meet some people you might not have already known at the church. Let's identify people who might be struggling with loneliness, somebody who might need encouragement for a situation going on in their lives, whatever it may be, invite them into to share a meal with you. Just start there. Get to know them, and maybe over time you're gonna develop a genuine relationship with them. You see, the unique way that we love and care for one another is in a church family, as believers in Christ, is the same way that the early church cared for and loved the other foreign missionaries coming in and staying at their homes. In doing that, we're an example to the world of the grace that God has shown us. It's a reflection of what God has done for us in our lives to the rest of the world. John 13:35 says, "By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Outside the church, we have great opportunities to engage with outsiders. I think we a lot of times get confused of what does neighbor mean? Does it have to be the people next door to me? It doesn't, but they are there. They're easy people that you hopefully see pretty often. But it's more than that. It's the world. It's everyone around us. And we live in DC where the world has come to us. We've got a great, unique opportunity to embrace this city and embrace the people here. It's your neighbors, it's your coworkers, it's the people at the gym, it's the people at your coffee shop. Those are our neighbors. The people that God has placed around us are who we need to be showing hospitality towards in order to build a genuine relationship. So here's some simple ideas for us this morning. Go out of your way to talk to your neighbor. Talk to them at the mailbox. Go out and invite somebody to come to your pool this summer with you, or go over to your house for a meal. Shovel somebody's walkway in the winter, or scrape their car off for them when it's frosted out. Rake somebody's leaves in the fall, or do like I didn't do and mow somebody's yard. Help somebody water their plants in your apartment building while they're gone on vacation, or care for a cat or a dog. At work, let's have lunch with our coworkers. Just ask somebody to have lunch for them. Identify that outsider in your work community that doesn't have people that they're friends with and ask them to go to lunch with you. Get to know them. Ask people more than just the project you're working on at work. Ask them about their personal life, their family, their friends, what they're up to. Offer to babysit somebody's kids. Talk to the people at the gym. Talk to your barista at your coffee shop that you go to, or the cashier. We have a ton of different opportunities to show hospitality and to start to make somebody a stranger and turn them into an acquaintance and ultimately a friend. We just have to be courageous, because God can take just a simple gesture between strangers and really build into a relationship that allows the gospel and his love to be made known to them. Let's remember that we are called to be ambassadors of Christ and to be an example that Christ has shown to us. So as we conclude this morning, I just wanna offer you guys just a couple questions to think about, to reflect on. If you journal about them this week. Is your heart motivated to love others because of what Christ has done for you? It's a hard question. Is your heart motivated to love others because of what Christ has done for you? Second, who is God identifying in your life to show hospitality towards? Is it somebody in the room here today? Is it a coworker? Is it a barista? Who's God identifying in your life that you need to embrace hospitality towards? And lastly, Which of these obstacles is a hindrance to you from practicing hospitality? Is it selfishness? Is it neglect? Is it your life stage? Is it not knowing what to do? Is it fear? Identify what that is and work in your heart to figure out how you can overcome that with the Lord's help. My hope is that all of us here today are walking out with a renewed sense of wanting to show hospitality to others, knowing that it is through hospitality that God wants to move, that God can make amazing changes here in this city, that we can see hundreds and thousands of people come to Christ because we are interacting one-on-one with people and making known his gospel. We're discipling people, furthering people's walks with the Lord. Let's remember that we were transformed from those strangers and we were now insiders, part of the family of God. And he has shown us amazing hospitality on the cross. So let's pray to that end here this morning. Father God, we love you. We are grateful that you are a God who has shown us hospitality, that you are a God who loves us even when we were sinners and when we were far from you. God, I pray that you would today just convict our hearts on those areas where we are having obstacles to do this, Lord. I pray that you would reveal that to us, that you would change who we are, that you would help us to just remember your love, your grace, and that we can share that with somebody else, that you have put into our lives neighbors, whether it's an actual neighbor or a coworker or somebody else, Lord, that's an outcast that you want us to reach out to. Help us to identify those people and help us to work in our hearts that we can be hospitable. Lord, let that be the culture of this church and let that help change this city and bring restoration into this city in your name. Lord, we love you. We pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration City podcast. We pray this message has strengthened your relationship with Jesus or even helped you start a relationship with Christ. If you have been impacted by the ministry of Restoration City and would like to support us financially over and above your regular giving to your home church, you can do so at rcc.church/give. There you will be able to make a one-time or recurring donation. Thanks again for listening to the Restoration City podcast.